Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Laurent, we've been following, of course, the developments in Ukraine, and what concerns me greatly was this constant threat of a nuclear war. How real is it? We wanted to try and get some information around it. Professor Annemarie van Wyk is a professor at the Department of Politics and International Relations at the University of Johannesburg. Good morning. Thanks for joining us so bright and early. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning to the listeners. I'm well, thank you.
Awesome. This is obviously a very, very real concern. We don't know, and I find that quite fascinating, is there so many articles and so many people trying to figure out who this Putin guy is. And of course, he's been around for as long as we can remember. But all of a sudden, he somehow has shifted to become more dangerous. And even intimated or actually more overtly mentioned the use of nuclear weaponry and a nuclear war. What is your take on it?
Well, yes, I have been following with some concern, the pronouncements of Putin and also his foreign minister around, the use of nuclear weapons. At this stage, I don't think we have to be overly concerned because Russia has a military doctrine that states that it would only consider nuclear use when the very existence of the Russian state was threatened. In other words, if it was under a severe attack. And of course, that is not happening currently. We have to keep in mind that Russia has the highest number of nuclear weapons in the world. It's got about 4,500 nuclear weapons, all of them either in storage or ready to be launched. It's got various types of nukes on submarines, on bombs, and intercontinental ballistic missiles. But they also have 2,000 tactical nukes, which are those small nukes that you use, to fight a nuclear war in a very small area. And what is concerning is that these nuclear warheads can be launched on the short-range missiles that Russia is currently using to bombard Ukraine. But that said, I don't think that the current conflict with the Ukraine really, qualified to threaten the military doctrine of Russia. Of the Russian state, the very existence of the state. Because firstly, Ukraine does not have nuclear weapons. It destroyed all its Russian nukes that was on its territory after the collapse of the Soviet Union in 1991. And secondly, the conflict is currently confined to the Ukraine only. So I don't see that the Russian state is really, under the threat. What could happen is, of course, that if the Western nations and states like France and Britain who have nuclear weapons directly join the conflict in the Ukraine by providing direct military assistance, we might see a higher alert level in Russia. And I think that is what the warning has been all about. It's not specifically saying that we are going to wage a nuclear war on the Ukraine, but it's basically a posturing to tell the West, look, if you're going to involve yourself in this conflict that we have in the Ukraine, we might just put our nuclear weapons on high alert. At the moment, we're not seeing around Russia that any of its weapons have been placed on high alert. So for the moment, I think it's just posturing and not a real threat to use those weapons. But we will need to see how that plays out, as the West becomes more involved in the Ukraine.
And the other problem is, and one of our listeners saying it, is we've all sometimes made the mistake of using maybe our own rational, moral thought process and imposed it on somebody like Putin. We assumed that this would never even happen, that he was, maybe it was all just strategic, he was amassing his armies outside Ukraine, never really thinking that he was going to march right in. And yet he did.
Yes.
So we have come not to trust rational behavior from Putin.
Yes, that is certainly true. But again, with all of these countries having all of these thousands of nukes, they cannot just press a button, or Putin himself cannot just make the decision to launch a nuclear attack. There's a whole system of command and control. So it would depend on how many people in his command and control, or at this stage, as crazy as he is.
Absolutely. And we don't have that sense, do we? I mean, from a political analysis perspective, do we even know what kind of support he has amongst his top group in his government?
That is something that I must still dig into a little bit. But, you know, if I look at the popular resistance in Russia at the moment, the way that the people are protesting, you know, I can be certain that as soon as some of the bodies of the young men are starting to come back from the Ukraine, there's going to be quite a heightened popular resistance in Russia, which might extend even to the military. At this stage, I think the military is carrying out orders, you know, that came from the top. But if we look at the resistance in Ukraine, they were not expecting that resistance that they're getting. So at this stage, they're getting, I mean, they have some successes in Ukraine, but they're also getting a bloody nose at the moment. At the same time, we haven't seen the full might of the conventional army, you know, being deployed in Ukraine. But yes, it would really depend on how much support Putin has amongst his top generals. At this stage, they're carrying out orders, but, you know, his foreign minister, of course, have also postured around this whole thing that the Third World War would be a nuclear war, you know, so they're posturing a lot around that. But we haven't seen the kind of like deployment, you know, or busyness around the nuclear sites, the nuclear launch sites around Russia that you would see if there was a real threat, you know, of starting to use nuclear weapons.
And one just wonders what really will happen, and amongst, you know, as this war becomes, maybe drags on a little bit longer, as Russia starts to feel maybe a little bit more desperate. That's always, of course, the worry with somebody like Putin, is we don't know how they'll react when they're cornered.
Yes, that's certainly the truth. And and Putin has been consistently saying that, you know, he feels threatened by NATO's expansion in Europe. Now, some of the former Soviet, you know, bloc states, or what we can call the satellite states of the Soviet Union, many of those former states are now part of NATO. Ukraine isn't, so that's why NATO cannot quite just go into Ukraine, you know, or even place them under a nuclear umbrella. But some of the other states are, and Russia has been saying that they feel threatened by that expansion of NATO, which is coming close to its borders. And one of the reasons they say for this invasion in Ukraine, it's because that the expansion of NATO goes against an agreement that they had, that it wouldn't expand, you know, into the Eastern Europe part of, you know, that continent. So that's one of the excuses that he's been using. If it's just an excuse, you know, for his current imperialism, I'm not sure about that, because Putin says a lot of things at the moment that doesn't make sense. For example, you know, accusing Zelensky of being a neo-Nazi, which is absolutely...
Yeah, considering he's Jewish, which is quite...
He's Jewish. Yeah. So the type of rhetoric that we are hearing it really doesn't make sense at the moment. But I think it would go a long way. There's a lot of posturing, but usually when it comes to nuclear weapons, you know, there's usually a lot of posturing, but it would need a real threat, I think, against the Russian state for him to resort to that.
And what's interesting is what you said before, is it's not just, and maybe in our own maybe simplistic minds, I always think of Putin with his finger hovering over a red button, but in fact the reality is that there is a system, and you would hope that along the way, if he feels desperate enough to launch a nuclear attack, that maybe within his own party or within his own organization, people would say, this isn't the way forward. We obviously can't be assured of that, but it is helpful if Putin has indeed lost it, in inverted commas, that there are other people along the way that have to be part of that launch.
Yes, definitely. The other thing that you know, that has been interesting to me is the almost the psychological war that Russia is also playing out in Ukraine with the whole thing around Chernobyl. As you know, you probably know that the Russian military captured the Chernobyl nuclear facility in Ukraine last week. So that has led to heightened levels of both radioactivity and confusion. In that 30-kilometer exclusion range around Chernobyl, we have seen increased radiation there, radioactivity, which the IAEA at the moment say it's not a cause for concern. But I think it's a psychological war that they're playing against the Ukrainians because of, you know, just that massive accident that happened there in 1986. and all of the efforts from Ukraine to try and contain the still leaking radiation from that reactor at Chernobyl. So as much as I don't think they can blow up Chernobyl and create another nuclear holocaust, because that would affect Russia as well.
Right.
I do think, capturing their scientists and those people there and keeping them, in captivity is very much focused on creating fear amongst the Ukrainians that, that they would see another disaster and another. I mean, many of their people got sick after Chernobyl. Still many people that are getting sick as a result of that accident. They're still leaking radiation that they have. They have literally spent millions of euros, of money to contain that radiation. What's for me also concerning is that Russia is now coming closer to some of the other nuclear power stations in the Ukraine. Now those power plants are old, and they are built to withstand an aircraft crashing into them, but they're not built to withstand a missile being fired into them. So the concern is what happens if there's a missile that goes off track and hits, for example, that dome at Chernobyl. It wouldn't be able to withstand something like that, and that would lead to another big radiation exposure to the people in that area.
Absolutely.
So yeah, I think that is something that we need to keep our eye on. Russia is very close to the biggest other functioning nuclear power station in Ukraine at the moment. Now, you've got certain radioactive isotopes like cesium-137 and iodine-131
right.
that would be the most problematic as they easily become airborne. At this stage, they're not foreseeing too much of a problem because it's only small quantities of these elements. And at the moment, it's the heavy artillery that has been going over the exclusion zone at Chernobyl that have stirred up that radioactive particle. But let's hope it stays like that.
Absolutely, and let's hope... Yeah. That sanity prevails. Professor Anna Maart van Wyk, Professor of the Department of Politics and International Relations at the University of Johannesburg, talking to us about the threat of a nuclear war.